How we doing, Anto?
I mean, I could be better if Greece would have moved on to the next round, but you know, it is what it is.
That's how you're starting the podcast.
It's so bad.
All you've done is cheer for Georgia all week long.
No, I did not.
And now you're going to make fun that Greece is not going to the Euros.
I actually like them both because I have friends that are Greeks and friends that are Georgians.
A closer friend than Mike?
Mike is not really a friend.
Wow.
It's a friend when
at convenience.
That's your son.
He's a friend at convenience.
Remember that the next time he calls you.
I learned a lot today. The past few days, I've learned a lot.
How are you, Michael? I know we're Italian football TV, but obviously you're Greek. Yeah. You're very, you take a lot of pride in being Greek, and they went out in penalty kicks to Georgia.
Jeez, I didn't think it was going to be a fucking interview on this.
I mean,
I feel deflated. We just didn't deserve to go through. We didn't play good football. We choked. And that's it. We just didn't show up.
And you missed an Italian game because you thought that the game was on
Sunday. Yeah, I know.
That's a pretty funny story, though.
I got screwed in...
Insult to injury.
Yeah, that's right.
Poor salt in the wound.
Yeah. But we just didn't deserve that. I'm happy for Georgia, a small team like that. Kind of reminded me of Greece, how they're the underdog to go through. It's nice. First time they qualify for a major
Kavada
tournament.
Made it. Even though he got
congrats
injured.
Congrats to Georgia.
I watched it 10 minutes before the end of the second half.
It was a bad game. It was an awful game until extra time.
They were both very nervy, and they didn't create a lot of chances
the
at all.
The XG at one point, I think at the 90th minute, was 0.04 to 0.03.
Did Wynn won the corner kick contest over there? And I told him to put 7 corner kicks.
I don't know. But
anyway, anybody that takes advice from you, I don't know.
Guys, why don't we start with Joe?
Yeah.
Because he's still with us, technically.
In spirit.
Yeah, Peter just actually came back from the mass today. We attended the service the day before, and man, the line was out the door. To say the amount of people he touched was a lot is honestly an understatement. He really touched people from America, from all different cities in Italy. He was really an icon, and just hearing all these stories from the people that attended, to his family members, to things we didn't hear, how we already knew what kind of guy he was. He was an incredible guy, literally uno di noi. Mm. And just hearing more of this and just knowing his whole family on a personal level, it was really, really tough to listen to. Everyone got emotional. It really hit home because, like I said before, he was...
I'm glad I didn't go to the service, Mike, because yesterday it was pretty, pretty emotional and sad. But today, from what I hear from Peter and Annalisa, it's just
horrible.
It's too much. I just wanted the family just to grieve in peace a little bit, and then hopefully, what I take from Joe that Joe is gonna be with us for a long time because he's got lasting memory not just with us but with a lot of people, and I think there is a lot of happy moment that I remember, and I want to just remember Joe. On the happy side, and I was lucky enough to see him a couple of times on Christmas. Villa Abate, one of my favorite spot, because he said to me many times, I thought to reset myself when I come back from Italy. The first thing in the morning, I come over here, and I said you got good taste, Joe. So
that's the one thing Sal asked me because we were talking back and forth, and he said just keep remembering those memories because we were sending over some videos. Everybody's got a Joe story. Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful thing that I've learned. And you mentioned the line. There was a line out the block from the moment we entered until the moment we left, 9 hours. And for the family to have endured the funeral, which was, it started in Florence. Mm-hmm. My dad went, he said 20,000 people in Florence. The curva came at the end, sang his name. Then they went to Pozzallo in Sicily, where Joe's from, for 3 days. And now they're able to end it here in the Brooklyn. So send strength to them. And Joe, we mentioned so many stories about him on the last podcast. And over these years, he touched us all in special ways. And the thing that I will take is that I've met so many people over the past couple of days who have come up to me and said their stories that nobody's ever heard. How Joe helped them when they were in need. I had one guy who said, I had a kid, I was really in need of a job, I went to Joe. Joe found a way. He found a way to get me involved with the New York Cosmos, where he helped me. And nobody ever heard about these stories because he was a humble man. Mm. He didn't want to go out there and speak about himself or speak about how he helped. And the one message for everybody at home I'll leave is what Gabriella, his daughter, told me. And she said, promise me you'll go and you'll hug your father after this. Because as much as we're We have the stresses of everyday life. We forget how fickle things can be and how things can be taken from us in an instant. We have so many stresses in life, but we have to remember that we're blessed to be here talking with our best friends because we don't know what tomorrow will have. So anybody at home, any problems that you're having with family, loved one, anyone in your life, hug them, give them a kiss, because you never know. It's sad that sometimes we need a reminder, but make sure you take this as a reminder.
You know, one thing to finish up with Joe is just that I'm so happy that I met Joe before he became Joe Barone, the vice president of Fiorentina, because that's a privilege to know. And, you know, even though after he became the president, he still, nothing ever changed. If anything, he became more humble and more of a friendly. It's like he could be a friend or the biggest stranger, even the garbage guy or anybody. So the thing that I take the most with me is Joe before he became, you know, quote unquote, the big shot that we know, you know, into the world of soccer. So I'll
say. Would you like to say something?
No, for sure. Obviously, it was a long week for the family, for friends, for loved ones. You know, today he finally went to rest, but I think he's going to remain with us forever. And I think, you know, even for us, right? We look at what he has done and reaching, you know, his dream, you know, with Fiorentina and the project that he did with Viola Park. And there was so much more to do. But unfortunately, you know, like you said, sometimes things are out of our control. And we have to also remember to just, you know, appreciate the little things in life. But I think for us, you know, all that we are sitting here, you know, we do what we love. And I think Joe had that as well, where he, you know, really was able to, you know, he was passionate about what he did, and he made sure he did what he felt he wanted to do or what was right in his heart. And, you know, like you said, the different stories that you hear, but even, you know, the amount of people that went there, it's not a case, you know, it's not a small percentage of people that went. It was literally everyone within the soccer world, everyone that was touched by him. I mean, even to people that had arguments with him, you know, were there. Because there was a respect. I mean, the U.S. Soccer Federation, Sunil Gulati, was there last night. So, or ex-U.S. Soccer Federation president. So there was a lot of people that showed homage to Joe and, you know, and what he meant for the community, the soccer community, the Italian-American community. And, you know, he had a big responsibility with Fiorentina. And, you know, he took it, you know, every day and he did it, you know, with pride and with a smile on his face. Mm-hmm.
And never stopped to be Joe. For us, for me, it never stopped to be Joe. Hey, Joe, that's it. Hey, we were talking about the one of the most weird BS that happening around the corner the day before, things like that. That was Joe. That was, you know.
I think my favorite thing is when you meet people from our neighborhood who will all say with pride, even though they don't really know football, culture, soccer, whatever you want to call it, they're like, oh, did you hear about the guy in our neighborhood that is, you know, I've heard them say Fiorentina coach or the owner of Fiorentina or whatever. It's a sense of pride for somebody to come from here to all the way at the top. And that's something that we could all take inspiration from him.
I have one more thing and then we can move on. Please, let me say this. I was picking up my cousins from Italy at the airport. Your father was upstairs on the departure, suite, and Joe and Montella were up there. So Gaetano, he told Joe, I said, hey, Antonio's downstairs waiting for us. I said, send him up. So I came with my cousin's son upstairs, and Joe, he proudly introduced me to Montella. I said, hey, this is my friend Antonio. He's coach/player of the Brooklyn Italian. It's a big thing. He's making the club very proud. And I said, it's somebody that you might use. You could use as an assistant. That was, well, he made my day. I said, wow.
Pull a make-a-wish for Antonio. He really was a good guy.
You bought him dinner after that. Sure.
That's something. Yeah. Did Joe ever watch you coach?
Why do you think he gave him the compliment?
So
obviously no easy way to transition after talking about this. There was a beautiful tribute at Red Bull Arena, which almost all of us were at for the Italy match. But before we get into the Italy match, Why don't we talk about the person who was not at the game and the story of why he didn't make it? Because it's pretty funny. He told it on Growing Up Italians, who congrats like them for $2 million. Well, you said it was. You said on Growing Up Italians. You got to say it here. Because people were asking every person that we met. They're like, where's Greek Mike? Why is Greek Mike not here?
Your dad also wasn't there, right?
My dad came for the tailgate.
Oh, okay.
But then he had to go work.
Yeah.
Say the truth, Mike. So, we didn't invite you, right?
tell the story.
Originally, the games were supposed to be the first game Italy and Greece played the same day. Then the second match that they're supposed to play for the first one, Greece played Kazakhstan. That's when Italy played Venezuela in Florida. Then the second match, they were supposed to play the same day. Then that playoff got pushed to a different, to the Tuesday. It was supposed to be on a Sunday. And I already thought that, Greece won the first one. I got to watch the second game with my dad. That's it. I can't be thinking about another game. Greece could finally qualify after a decade. Oh my God, I feel so dumb saying this now. But yeah, I ended up giving up the ticket already because I didn't even think about it. And then I realized too late.
What time?
The morning of the game.
Like what time?
I don't know. And I was like, wait, isn't this supposed to be? And then I was like, oh, God. Then I didn't want to make a fuss about it. And I realized there was an extra ticket.
We had so many extra. We had I had a couple people who had extra tickets. My sister's, my niece wasn't able to make it last second. And a couple of the people were giving out tickets. So if you would have told us, we would have been able to get you there.
I would have came. I didn't have anything to do.
I had a couple of friends. My friend Francesca from, she's an Inter fan like Peter. Francesca and a daughter. Like
Peter, thanks for the thanks for the comparison.
Yeah, and Elizabeth. So
you missed the fun day. You missed the fun day out.
I'm sure.
We had one of, I can genuinely say it was one of the most fun days of my life.
That's good. Because I wasn't there, right?
Well, that easy. Joke too. Any day I don't have to see you, it's a great day.
I got to meet Greta for the first time. Cool, I know.
He's a cool dude.
Actually, Grella is uno di noi. I'll tell you, this is for real. I was impressed. I mean, and
why? You didn't think he would be?
No, I'll tell you why. First of all, somebody before I went to shake hands with Grella said, "Oh my God, that's Mike Grella." I said, he's much skinnier than the way he looks on the TV.
He just lost 10-20 pounds.
Yeah,
he got really skinny now. But either way, the cool thing was getting there 4 hours before the match.
Absolutely.
All of us got there 3-4 hours before the match. We were tailgating. I mean, it was a party atmosphere. There are so many people that we didn't know that came up to us, obviously, for the podcast. Mm-hmm. But in general, they're like, oh, come to my car. I'm going to make you a mortadella sandwich. And then another guy was like, I got chicken cutlets. Another guy, I got cookies. I was making the spritz. So everybody, it was a real community aspect.
Oh, by the way, thanks for the spritz. I got nothing.
That's your fault. I can't control you. You were running around like a lunatic.
I gave you a bottle of Prosecco. I gave you all the
goods. You didn't give me any Prosecco.
Yes, I did.
No, you didn't.
I think the one with no bubbles.
I would have got the Bocca
di Fuoco. Bocca di Fuoco opened the bottle. I didn't tell you that was my bottle.
No, it's
why
not
did
true.
It happen with the Ryan story? He was supposed to be up with the ended stuck. Up in the second half or something.
Well, yeah, some people apparently I know you said on TV it didn't look like the game was sold out.
On TV, I was like, what's going on? But it looked like
I realized there were so many more Italians than I ever expected. The seats were blue. And Italy fans were wearing blue. So from TV and even from us, you could see that it wasn't there. But they said at Red Bull Arena, they weren't even ready to take 25,000. So a lot of people who showed up a little bit later, Bonetti, it happened to Bonetti, Ryan, our friend Ryan.
We didn't get to meet Matteo.
That's what I'm saying. He got there late because they weren't able to handle the parking. It happened so crazy. But even though it was a friendly match, it was a day of enjoyment, of celebration with all of our closest friends, family. And to be watching an Italy game, I thought it was going to be a little bit embarrassing. I was like, damn, I'm watching a friendly game. You know, I'm not really going to celebrate.
It was not as friendly as you thought, Marco.
But then once the national anthem started playing and Pellegrini put the first goal in, you sort of lost yourself in the atmosphere. And for them to come here for the first time in 20 years was something special.
What was the split that you saw since you guys were there from Ecuadorians and Italians that you were saying?
I would say 65 Italian, 35 Ecuadorian.
I think it was close to 50-50.
Where we were standing, it was a lot more of Italian, but that was because it was, it was organized.
I just looked at his section.
To buy the tickets in that area.
It was very close. I thought we would be dominated by Ecuadorians, but the Italians, they really showed up in numbers.
It was a lot of 50-50, not even 60-40.
No, I thought we would be dominated by Ecuadorians, but we weren't. And it was great to see the younger generation get to experience that. And I think Spalletti made it very well known that he wanted to embrace the Italian Americans, that he said it many times in his interviews, that it's a generation that had to leave for better opportunities, that came here for an opportunity, but their connection back to the homeland was through calcio. And for a long time, we've neglected that. And I've personally never seen an Italian national team coach even speak to that. And I spoke to some even Australians, English, Italian, Australians, Italian, English, that said that they even felt pride seeing that happen from abroad because they don't get that connection. I think you sent the clip of Spalletti reacting to it. What did he say? I don't remember.
No, I think the question was, did you expect like this Italian community to come out and then support Italy? And, you know, he obviously, because Spalletti, I think he's great with these press conferences or anything.
He's well spoken.
So I don't know word for word, but it was more so like, you know, he was very proud about the Italian fans that were here and that, you know, that we had to play for them. Right. And we had to show them, you know, how happy we are. And that also it was something that as a test, in a sense, because now 2026 is coming up and that's the World Cup that's going to be held in the U.S. And, you know, it's a good little glimpse of what could be for the Italian national team. And I hope that, you know, the federation also recognizes this and maybe, you know, we don't have to wait 20 years for the next Italian game.
And hopefully the next. What stood with me was that after the game, instead before to go to the locker room, he made all the team come to do the Giro di Campo to say to greet all the fans that they were over there.
I actually thought they could have done more. They could have done more.
No, they did.
They should have came over and given the jerseys to some of the kids. I felt like overall we could get into this. You know, not to be negative, but I thought as a whole, the Italian Federation could have done way more to activate in the United States.
Yeah,
I
don't think they did enough. The fan experience was minimal.
And somebody next to me before the game started, before the national anthem started, I said, "Why? What are the kids?" In other words, no players walked inside the
field.
That's
what I had a fight with them, is because I wanted my nephew to walk in with the players.
God.
And my Grella's kids wanted to walk in, and they didn't do it. And for the reason I never got a complete answer, I was very disappointed. Even if they're friends of mine and I speak to them, I let them know that.
My God.
For me, as a little kid, I walked in with Ambrosini when I was a kid. I was like 8 years old. And it grows your connection. It inspires you. You know, you're touching the players. You're right there. You're in front of the stadium.
Yeah, for sure.
And it got me more connected to the sport and got me more connected to Italy. And that's such like a little nuanced thing. And I know it sounds small to maybe a lot of people, but for a kid, you make their life.
Absolutely.
If you're able to walk out with your idol. So I was very disappointed on that end.
I would have loved Antonio to walk out with one of the players. Everyone was like 8 years old. And then Antonio just holding one of the players. Barella.
Who would you walk out with if you could walk out with one player?
Me, if I would have been walking out with somebody.
Holding their hand.
Well,
Cassano.
Cassano.
He's not a player.
What? If you could have done it Sunday, who would you have walked out with?
I don't think
so. You're talking a player?
No. The ones that started. The ones that started.
Why don't we ask this question?
The ones that started, you walk out with them and for the anthems.
I would say Barella.
Let's speak about the actual football. I think I could really appreciate how great Barella is when I watch him in person. He was not for the goal. He was absolutely everywhere. And there was moments where you see the ball coming in the air and he does a slight feint. He'll put a drop of the shoulder. He'll move his leg in a certain way that gets the defender thrown off a little bit and he controls the ball. It looks so effortless, but if you know in live time, in current speeds, it's such a difficult thing. He is the absolute engine of this team.
No, he's the DNA.
He was the most impressive player.
Barella, for me, is the Italian DNA. This is what playing for Italy means. The attachment to the shirt, the respect for the shirt, give everything that you have in. Of course, the talent that it comes with it.
Playing
it's very important.
Inter.
No, playing for Inter is the worst thing that I don't like about Barella, but I do respect him anyway. He's the only player that I will take away from Inter, but Barella, to me, he deserves the fascia di capitano.
And he had it.
He had it? Yeah. Okay, but to me, Barella is the capitano. Forget about Donnarumma, forget about all the rest of the guys. Barella
was he the most impressive player you saw from the stadium?
Yes.
He was the most impressive?
Yeah.
How about for you?
I would say so.
Di Marco was also brilliant.
I think
brilliant.
Also Pellegrini.
No, not at the level of Barella.
Pellegrini had a good game.
Maybe two, three notches down.
But if we got to focus. We got to talk about all the guys that played.
Oh, absolutely.
Played
they
good.
All played well.
Pellegrini's been the one that stepped up big time. I mean, his form from Roma since Mourinho's left and since De Rossi has taken over, he's put it into the Italian national team. And I know, I would say as a whole, it does feel like this team is not there to compete for the Euros. But if we have a couple individual guys really step up, that's what you need in tournaments. Yeah. You need guys that play better than you ever expected. Spinazzola at the Euros was never a player that we would have expected at that level. Mm-hmm. And he stepped up to the plate. Pellegrini can be that X factor for us. The way that he is creative, the way that he also brought the joy to us to score the goal,
what a goal,
was brilliant to take the shot. I think he was one of the positives that I took away from this U.S. tour.
And Retegi is another one. Retegi, I'll tell you, Retegi is, he's got the DNA. I mean, it's not native Italian born. But
from Canicati.
Yeah, I know. But Retegi is someone that is really, he's focused on the game and you can tell that he's wearing the Italian DNA inside his blood.
Do you guys think he should be the starter now for Italy?
I think
I think it's not even a question anymore. No. Right, he started five times. Yeah, he scored four goals. No, and the thing I love about him
is defense.
The thing is, he's a traditional number nine, but he needs one opportunity. He doesn't need seven chances.
He's clinical.
And at Genoa, he doesn't get the most service. And even for this Italian national team, it's a slow grind, right? We're not always going to be the team that gets the most opportunities. But you need a guy who just smells the goal, mm-hmm. who for some reason is in the right place at the right time. For me, Matteo Retegi is that, and there is no way I would start any other nine in the Euros than Matteo Retegi.
Speaking of...
You agree?
I agree. I think also off the ball, the work that he does off the ball, and he's, you know, I know he's got the Italian DNA, but he's, you know, has that Argentinian grit to him. Where, like Lautaro, he's going to go after every ball. He's going to stick a foot in there. He's going to make sure that he's going to be this, you know, pest for the opposing defenders. So this is a guy that, you know, the job is his. I don't see anybody else that's really able
not even close.
Raspadori wasn't good enough.
But Raspadori is not
a real number nine.
He can't be that number nine. I think him off the bench would add a lot more to this Italy team. And, you know, unless, you know, the false nine, it doesn't work for this team from what I saw. Then, you know, obviously I think Raspadori coming off the bench, he can play in that nine. He could also come and play in that winger role, you know, depending on the formation that Spalletti wants to play. So I see Retegi there. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to see Lorenzo Luca. Would he have been the number nine? I don't see it. I think it's still a little too early. Yeah. I like his potential, but he still needs to put more goals in the back of the net.
I feel like the thing is with the Italian national team, we don't have a phenomenal. We don't have a guy that's going to be able to dribble four or five people and score goals. Our strength is the guys getting in behind. Di Marco loves to make the run forward. He almost acts as a striker at sometimes. Fratesi breaking the lines, Pellegrini, all these players.
The
point is that you need a big reference point, number nine, who could hold the ball up and allow those guys to get in behind, even Bellanova with his speed. That's important, and I think we've learned that Raspadori is not able to do that job. Not to his fault, he just has different characteristics that can be important. Mm-hmm. What'd you think about Bellanova? Because he was also the player that we got to watch. He looked very fast when he's going down the wing, but I thought he struggled playing in tight spaces.
So when we were first watching the first half, I think that's what we mentioned right away. Like we're like, this kid has got the speed, he has the legs to be able to go back and forth, and he'll look to make the crosses. There was a couple crosses that were interesting. Obviously in tight spaces, he's not polished. He's not the super technical player, but he's going to work hard. He's going to have that work rate, and he's going to, with his speed, cause damage or at least have the opposition respect him. And what I would say is, you know, maybe I was a little harsh on him in the first half where I said, you know, he's got to be able to make that simple 1-2 pass.
Me and you were both very frustrated.
Try to be able to just like cut in and cut out something more technical on that part. But if you look in the second half, and to be fair, also Ecuador were pushing a little bit more. Italy were kind of sitting back and monitoring the game. But I do think in that game, you know, where we have to sit back, he would be a vital part of that team. And I think also Ecuador that or whoever you have in front of you have to respect a Bellanova that is going to be able to beat you down the line.
More than like a Di Lorenzo. Or a Darmian, for example.
No, listen. Exactly. Mike, it doesn't have the Berardi quality, but it's got the speed that Berardi does not have. So missing Berardi.
It's more about on that right side, it's a Balotaggio with Darmian, Di Lorenzo and Bellanova. Mike, you watch it from TV. What did you notice that's different than something that we've said or we haven't touched on yet?
I mean, to be honest, I like the Bellanova inclusion in terms of I like how Spalletti's trying all these new young talents and stuff. And that's what you got to do for these friendly matches, you know? I think that's the best thing. The thing I didn't really like in terms of between the two matches was a switching in the center back and stuff. And yeah, you can say they're trying out new things, but with Di Lorenzo playing in that center back role or Buongiorno playing in that center back role. But like, again, it's a test to try things out. I felt like it was a little bit shaky and they weren't really on it. And but it's good to...
Who specifically? Because Buongiorno struggled the first game. Big time.
Listen, there was a lot of hype on Buongiorno, but I feel like... Not that he wasn't good. You could tell the inexperience in that big level to where, you know, the Azzurri jersey, it's heavy, obviously. And to put that on... he didn't perform what I expected him to perform.
In Venezuela, the game against Venezuela.
Yeah, obviously. The game against Venezuela. But then again, it's one game. You're going to get better. He's having a good season. So he's good to have in the arsenal, but not someone that you can really rely on in terms of the heavy hitter matches when the Euro starts.
The big debate was, the first game was a mess. We looked awful against Venezuela. Probably the match against Ecuador, we lost. We forgot a little bit about that. The big debate online was he starts with the 3-4-2-1 formation because the back three, if you look at Buongiorno, Darmian, Bastoni, most of those players, Mancini, whoever, Acerbi, whoever it is going to play there. They play in a back three for their clubs. We switched to the 4-3-3 in game. I want to ask you guys, we could go through our lineup, our ideal lineup, but do you see that being the goal? It's we have to start with the three-man back line, the 3-4-2-1, and then eventually switch to 4-3-3? Or there's a lot of people that said, we need to get rid of the back three and go with the 4-3-3 formation to help the likes of Federico Chiesa or other players, for example.
I like more the three back line because Italy becomes more offensively oriented that way because I'll tell you, you know, defensively, the 3-4-3 becomes almost a 5-3-2 technique. All you have to do just.
But then, what do you do with Chiesa? Chiesa looks a little bit out of place.
Well, that's the main thing: is that the coach has to be smart enough to let the playmakers and the people that they can do damage, like the people capable to take the one-on-one, the defender one-on-one, like Chiesa, like Bellanova, we were saying right now, with the speed, or like Frattesi is another good one, Barelli is another good one. So you have to try to balance. I said, hey. When Barella is up, somebody's going to cover the back. I was watching all the time carefully when Italy was taking the corner kicks with Mancini coming up. Who was staying? The last guy was was Bellanova because of the speed. You don't want to get caught in a counter.
But forget about it. Those guys look good in the formation. My point is that Federico Chiesa is our X factor. We would not have won the Euros without him. I don't think that we do anything in the Euros without a player of his caliber. This formation doesn't seem to be getting the best out of him.
Why can't he play as one of the two? I could see him play as one.
He looked like he was caught so out wide. I mean, maybe I'm taking one game.
Well, playing the 3-4-3, he'll be out wide. But if you do a
3-4-3, I think it's perfect for him.
A 3-5-2, for example, if you alternate.
The 3-5-2.
He could be more of that free player.
No, that Juve didn't work.
I don't think so.
He's uncomfortable in that formation. I think Juve plays because
Allegri. I think
it could be that.
But we don't have that much time to be testing these things and wondering these things is the problem.
Well, Spalletti said it, but in some of the press conferences, he's like, listen, we're going to try different things. Mm-hmm. But also, the modern game, you have to be fluid. So you have to be able to play a 3-4-3 or 3-4-2.
You have to be able to change off the fly.
Which we did. We did have to change.
And listen, the thing is, we should use this as a, you know, an extra thing to put in our pocket where we can have this luxury, really, to have this three-man back line. And have it work great, or even be able to change it into a four back.
I think Italy really got to play on their strengths for this one because these tournaments are unforgivable. One bad game that it can cost you.
Look at the qualification. Group that we have.
Italy playing Albania, Croatia,
and Spain.
Spain.
So it's very tough group.
Very tough group is going to be tough, but I think Italy got to play with their strengths. I think Chiesa is the only real glimmer of hope that can really do something in attack. In terms of getting a penalty or stringing that pass or passing over a player. So I think if they got to keep that traditional three up front, regardless of what they do in defense. But if they do that three-man defense, they got to play center backs that play that three-man defense in that club. Because that's when it gets sticky. If you put a center back that plays as a two-man back line and a three-man back line, it's very hard to adapt. So Acerbi, a Basson, you could say that. You got to get someone that actually plays as a center back and a three-man back line in the club.
So why don't we go through, before, one last player to talk about, and then let's go through one by one where we think Italy could play. Mm-hmm. For me, another thing that we learned, just these are all takeaways that I've gotten. Jorginho is still the best deep-lying midfielder that we have. He's, for me, over Locatelli. Jorginho needs to be starting. He's creative. Yeah. He finds a space. He reads the game before everybody. The way that he set up multiple occasions, especially in the match against Venezuela, the team is just way more fluid. You don't like him because he missed penalties? That's fine. I'm not saying he's going to take the penalty kicks. Mm-hmm. But Jorginho needs to be on the field if we want to play the best type of style. He's calm on the ball. Nobody has the same footballing IQ on the team as Jorginho does in that role. Him and Barella looked perfect together. So I wouldn't touch that.
Yeah, no. That's only untouchable.
Does anyone disagree? Would anyone prefer Locatelli?
If you play with a regista, no, I like Jorginho. Mm-hmm. I thought when Locatelli came in, yes, he gave that, you know, it's not that like he wasn't trying. He was going in for tackles and stuff. But he has a lot of lazy passes for me. And I get it. It's a friendly game, so maybe you're not at 100. But if you have that mentality, you're already making a mistake. You need to be guns blazing and showing that you deserve to have that, you know.
What do you mean for lazy pass? It goes for safety all the time, just easy one. No, what is
it? I think
just drop back a little bit
when he hit some. You know, on a lot of his passes, they're not hit.
Oh, got it.
So every time I saw a couple of passes where it's
like Bonaventura's pass at the back,
exactly. Like it's like too nonchalant almost to say like, okay, get the ball. Okay, I'm gonna.
They're not clean. They're not clean.
So it's not even about being clean. Just knowing the tempo of the game and coming in there and showing that you're going to make that pass. Bah, bah.
And he was doing better than he had actually done on Juventus in that position. Frattesi's different. He's more attacking. Mm-hmm. The last guy that I want to talk about, I forgot about him, and I really didn't like his game, but I've seen people completely disagree with me. Zaniolo, for me, not a starter for the Italian national team. He could be a guy that comes in off the bench. He's much bigger in person than I expected, but he's just not clean on the ball. I mean, he always looks like he's about to lose possession. He's got his head down. He needs to mature a lot more. For me, not a starter for the Italian national team.
He has the tendency of overdo sometime. You know, you just do one dribble, another one. You got the space and you got the time. Look around, pass the ball. Don't try to do more than what you've been asked to do. And then put yourself, go fill up the empty space and make something happen. Or just take the guy with you if you're trying to make a run down the line. I think Zaniolo, if he's coached the right way, it can be very dangerous for us. I will never give up
Zaniolo. As a starter or as a bench player?
I think as a starter.
Really?
Oh, yes.
That chance he missed, you guys were there live to see
that
it.
I have it on video.
I love to see him as a starter.
I had to cut off the video for what I said afterwards.
The guy needs to be coached.
But for me also,
he's got a great coach. He's got Emery and he's got Spalletti now. Yeah. If they can't get the best out of him, but he's not even playing at us.
He's not a starter for his club.
It doesn't matter.
What do you mean doesn't matter?
Physically, he's got the talent. It's physically very, very dominant.
Why isn't he playing then?
Because I told you, he has the tendency to keep the ball a little too longer than what is necessary.
He should be playing at a club at a club like Aston Villa. For a starter for Italy, I think he should be playing.
To be fair, Aston Villa is playing
top champions.
They're fighting for that Champions League spot.
I think he has one goal this
season. He's below that level.
I just think
he's not at Aston Villa's level.
Also, when you look for players, you have to look for players that are hot. That's how I look at it. Who's going into the...
Chiesa's not hot.
Yeah, it's a risk. I'm not saying that you don't take him, but I'm saying for these guys that are kind of fringe players or guys that are not, you have to also recognize what they've been doing in the season. And I see Zaniolo where, you know, he's a real shell of himself. You know, Chiesa, okay, he's not hot, but he's playing, he's starting, he's doing his thing. I think also with Juventus, the games that they played well, it was because Chiesa played well. Mm-hmm. So Zaniolo, for me... We saw it even in the newspapers this morning. He's saying that he deserves playing in Serie A. He wants to come back to Serie A. He's giving a lot of these talks.
Mixed signals.
Aston Villa looks like they're not going to pick up the option at that point.
Why would they,
if you're talking like that. And, you know, the kid right now, you know, he's got all the talent in the world because of his physicality, his technical ability, his ability to beat the man 1v1. But unfortunately, from what I would say to you, Antonio, is... timing is everything in this sport. Mm. So if you're holding onto the ball too long, you're killing the play. You're not supporting the team in its movement. You're not giving any opportunity. So at that point, you have to be able to think quick and let the ball go, or understand and have a certain level of IQ of the game to be able to be fluid in a match.
Yeah, I agree. Let's go from back to front. Let's do the 3-4-2-1. It's easier. Donnarumma or Vicario?
I like them both, but Vicario was very impressive as well. Really? I mean, it's not very good with his feet per se, but Vicario kept everybody.
I don't like the way he comes out for the ball. I feel much more secure with Donnarumma. If you want to talk about inform, like he's in Vicario. A great form at PSG. He's been doing phenomenal. For me, Donnarumma is still the starter for the Thai national team.
I agree. Before this game, I probably would have said Vicario, but Donnarumma against Venezuela, I think he saved Italy on that one. He saved a few big ones, and for PSG, he is pulling his weight. I think he is more secure, especially for I think he's a better shot stopper than Vicario.
It's a good option to have. Vicario is a good second, but it can be first.
Okay, that's the point. It's a first or second.
Great second. Both of them, great goalkeepers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, we have guys that are left off the team that are Di Gregorio is a great goalkeeper. He's not going to be on the team. Yeah. You start Donnarumma?
Yes.
Okay, so we're all in agreement. The three in the back, I'll start. I prefer Darmian as the right center back. Bastoni is the left center back. The center of the center back is a toss-up, whether it's going to be Buongiorno, Mancini. I'm sorry to all the Roma fans. They think that I hate Roma because I'm not a Mancini fan. Complete opposite. I love Roma. I just don't like Mancini. Or if Acerbi comes back to the national team, whatever they end up deciding, it'll be between them. So that's still a toss-up. But the other guys, I don't like Di Lorenzo in the right center back position.
I mean, I don't like that three-man back line for Italy because I don't think they really have... I don't think Darmian's a really... I don't know.
Darmian's
I feel
like made it to the Champions League final last year.
Listen. Darmian is a right hand. I just feel like he's the best third center back, but I'd rather prefer Bastoni and Acerbi as the two center backs in a four.
Both left-footed.
Let's go with the three-man back line. Who's your three?
In a three-man, he's the next best one.
Okay. Darmian. I actually think that Darmian's one of the best players that we have. I think he's so solid. He's so smart on the ball. He never overdoes it.
I'd rather have him on the right
side.
He's
going to play right center back.
No, I'm right midfield. I'd rather have him there.
Okay. Listen, for me, I have to be honest with you. Darmian, for me, is not a center back. Darmian is more of a four.
Okay.
Four-man defense. Yes. Four-man.
Okay,
yes.
In the three, who's your three?
I would put Buongiorno. I would put Buongiorno, Bastoni. Uh-huh. And I would put...
Acerbi?
Scalvini?
No.
Mancini?
There you go.
Scalvini?
Yes.
So now you got all left,
young,
left guy.
They're young. Where are you gonna Buongiorno, play? Scalvini,
who's going to play on the right
guys.
Center back?
The right center back, if we play with a three-man formation, you don't need that. This is the only three.
You need one guy here,
those
one guy here,
those are three very
here.
Powerful guys.
He said three, I think, no?
Three.
Yes, and I said one has to play on the right.
Oh.
Bastoni. I can put Bastoni.
No,
he can play both sides.
Okay, that's his line.
Bastoni can play both sides.
I think I would agree. Bastoni, Darmian.
Darmian is not a center back.
Don't you guys are crazy.
Inter made it to the Champions League final with Darmian as the right center back.
I watched him in the Champions League final live.
He can play that position.
Who's your center? Who's the center in the center back?
Center back, I think, you know, as you said, it's one of those three. If you want a full back line with Inter, you have Acerbi. That's the lineup that went to the Champions League final and shut down Haaland. So
still a toss up for the center.
Yeah, I mean Acerbi, just because of his age, and obviously we don't know exactly what's going to happen afterwards with this, the racism trial. So if everything was normal, whatever, I would have the Inter back line.
Okay, let's start with... I'm not going to sacrifice the youth. I'm telling you, I'm against that. I'm not going to sacrifice the youth of Scalvini for Acerbi.
But Scalvini can still come into the game.
Scalvini, to me, with those are three power giants.
So I'm not disagreeing with the idea that you have. I just don't think that those three together can play together normally. Let's see how it goes. Let's go to the four, right? Di Marco on the left. There's without a doubt. If anyone argues for Udoji... You're crazy.
Yeah.
Jorginho Barella. Yes, right?
Yep.
The right side, it will be between Bellanova and Di Lorenzo at this point. Personally, I would go with Bellanova, but I have a feeling that because of Di Lorenzo, the Napoli connection with Spalletti, he'll go with Di Lorenzo. My vote is for Bellanova. I want to see him one more time with all the good starters around him.
I would have liked, like I said, Darmian on that right side, but if we are doing a three-man back line, Di Lorenzo, to me, I don't think he's capable enough to continue with Azzurri. I like Bellanova. He has a lot of potential, and I think he does something fresh. He's a more.
I would go for youth and speed. I agree with Mike.
So even when we went to, you know, we won the Euros, we had Spinazzola, who was that surprise fullback, and we saw what speed and you know technical ability can do. So, you know, I would also say Bellanova just because he's having a great season, and you know, even in the game on Sunday, he impressed me.
Mm. So total agreement on the four.
Is the threat that you have, like somebody that I can take you on a speed that can just burn you down right there on the line, just to have it over there. It might not be technically one of the top guy, but if he's got his physical ability and his power in down the line, it can burn you down. That's it. That's
so DiMarco, Jorginho, Barella, Bellanova is that's who we it. Say. Now that's the it. Two in front of them, for me, Chiesa and Pellegrini.
Wait, 3-4-3, we said, right?
It's not that's not the formation that they play. They play a 3-4-2-1.
This is the only one that we have. Of course, we have to go with Chiesa and Pellegrini. Where else is around?
Well, you could put Fratesi. No, you could put Orsolini.
No, I don't like this
you
formation.
Could put, you don't like it, but that's what we're going with because that's what he started
Chiesa
in two games.
Chiesa and Pellegrini, they already cemented their position in the national team, regardless of what we're discussing right now. So the only question mark is the number 9.
He's right. There's only
so they've been there. Only two ones that cemented. There's nobody that can challenge them. Who else is going to pick
them? Well, because he tried Zaniolo, he tried. Yeah. You could say Raspadori. You could say there's a lot of options. Don't say there's not options. This is the argument. Mm. Retegui as the striker.
100%.
Retegui as the striker.
Yeah,
okay,
this.
You keep saying 4-3-3. Who's your 4-3-3 formation? Go name it for
4-3-3. Okay, the Inter center backs.
Donnarumma in net.
Yeah, Donnarumma.
Right center, right back.
Right back, Darmian.
Two center backs.
Two center backs. We're gonna have the ones that we said for
Scalvini.
Last one.
Just name them.
No, you should center back.
Yeah, center back.
Oh, I said the two, Bastoni and Acerbi.
Left back?
Left back, DiMarco, yes.
Which DiMarco doesn't like to play left back, by the way.
So you want the whole Inter line? Look at this guy.
DiMarco doesn't like to play left back. But anyway, whatever. This is your lineup. Three in the midfield. Yeah. Who's your three?
Jorginho and Barella. And who's the third one?
Pellegrini.
That could be Alfredo.
That so who is yours? Toss. If you're going into a game, Italy's going into the Euros, who's the third guy?
The third guy over there. You can also do a trequartista and put Pellegrini there. And put them two holding, Pellegrini behind.
Okay, three up top, left wing.
Chiesa?
No, I want... Chiesa could play either on the left or the right.
So who's the left?
The Retegui striker... Chiesa on the one wing, and the other wing we could put.
This is the problem.
Yeah, I know.
That's the problem with that formation. But you got to choose a name.
I'm just saying this.
If you're Spalletti, you're lining up for the Euros. You're saying we have to change formation.
Left.
Who's on the right cutting in?
Who's your guy? Who's your third guy?
I don't like them.
Who's the winger?
I always like Udoji. Not Udoji. Nyonto, to be honest with you.
Nyonto's not even right now.
I know, but I just like. I don't like Zaniolo.
Okay, if you're Spalletti, who are you starting in this game?
From this roster, if we have this roster only.
This is who he called up. That's a problem with the 4-3-3. The third guy is not great.
I get it. But this formation overall, I think it's suits
okay, so
Italy
if you had
better.
To call your guy, who's your guy out there?
Say Zaniolo for Zaniolo. This current roster.
Zaniolo. I like
if
it.
I had to put it. But he's a natural winger. And Chiesa's a natural winger.
For me, Zaniolo's not a natural winger. I think Zaniolo's best position is actually like a mezzala.
But Chiesa on the left and Zaniolo on the right. At Roma, he played amazing on that right wing.
I don't know about
that's
amazing.
That's when he played his
okay,
best.
So that's your formation.
Currently.
That's your formation. People in the comments, make sure say what you would say.
What do you disagree you could, with me on mine or whatever the case is?
My big, I like the 4-3-3 because I like a three-man midfield. I think that Italy can build out a lot better.
Yeah.
That's the pros to it. Everything is, it comes at a cost.
How about the defense?
My biggest cost, the defense I don't like. I think we're limited with DiMarco as a left back. He prefers to play as a wing back. He's always playing as a wing back. He's one of the best wing.
But he'll still have the freedom of going on.
Yeah, but he's not going to be able to. Look at the goal.
Yeah,
like when you guys scored against Atletico Madrid. He's not going to be in that position where he's so dangerous. And for me, DiMarco's always been a guy that in the big games, he shows up. I want him to have more freedom. So for that reason, I would play the three-man back line. And because we don't have a good. I can't put a really good right winger in the formation. So
and
that's why.
How about Chiesa and stuff?
Chiesa, he fits that formation better.
You think so?
Yeah, he fits a 4-3-3 better.
Oh, 4-3-3 better. Yeah.
The problem is you don't have the other guy. If we had another guy that was at a really good level, if we had, let's say, Sulep could become Italian or something, you know, a good winger, then
we
okay.
can fix that.
We can, unfortunately. You see the goal he scored? Anything else, boys?
That's what I see.
How are we going to do in the tournament with one of those teams that we mentioned?
I think we're gonna be first place or second place. I mean, for second place is going to be a disaster, but I think we can... you know, even with the player, if they are healthy, I think we have the numbers to be.
How
first.
Far do you think we could go realistically?
I would be happy if we go over the quarterfinal, but I think we're gonna stop at the quarterfinal because the powers that is in Europe, it's just way
France
too much
looks
for
great.
Us.
Yeah. Germany has so many Florian Wirtz is like absolutely.
Yo, that guy's
on.
I saw him play the friendly the other match.
I'll be happy to go through the quarter, and that's it.
How do you feel
I'll
about be happy. About this team, Peter?
Listen, even when you go deep, you know, Italy usually are not the favorites to win. So it's all about the group. Spalletti, I think he has that magic. So I wouldn't be surprised that we go far. But at the same time, it's all going to be based on how we start the tournament. That's I think, major for me. And we're in a tough group. I know Croatia's an older team now, yeah, so maybe not as scary. So, yeah.
They finished Albania. Third place in the World Cup.
Yeah,
well, we didn't even qualify.
We're gonna wipe them out.
No, I didn't say that. But
we're gonna wipe them out. Believe me, what I'm telling you.
You guys are way overlooking Croatia.
I was gonna say they completely.
They finished second to Turkey in the qualifiers.
Hey, they finished third in the World Cup. We didn't qualify for the World Cup.
What was that?
Do not overlook Croatia.
Albania, Croatia. We're gonna wipe them out. Believe me.
Okay, I'm getting flashbacks of you saying.
I know. I guess North
finished first in the group. I think they might
it's
be a dark
very
horse.
Tough group.
No, I said
Croatia. We cut off Peter.
I was saying Croatia might be older and whatever, but they still got players that play for the top teams and
in important
you know,
games.
Third place, you know, in the World Cup 2 years ago, and you have Albania, which is a surprise, I think, of a tournament.
Dark horse,
and they played great in the qualifications, and then Spain. Is a tough
it's
matchup.
Spain,
so
yeah.
we always struggle Italy, against Spain.
The one against Spain, yes, yeah. it's very tough.
So
one.
Italy have to
guess
go through.
What?
I don't know. Is there the best third?
You know, I read that their third team actually does can go through, but we have to play a very difficult round of 16
okay,
game.
So then I'll forget it.
We're not. I would say that technically, quality of players, we're not amongst the top four within Europe, but we also weren't in the past, and we need big guys to step up. There's certain key players like Di Marco is a game changer for me. Pellegrini, what Pellegrini does, what Chiesa does. I have guarantees about Retegi up top. What the defense can do, I think when we bunker in, we actually could play good. So what we lack in quality, we'll have to make up in coming up with big performances. And exactly what you said, the group, because Italy never goes into any tournaments as a favorite. And usually when they're counted out, we do better. And I think there is no better coach than Luciano Spalletti for this moment, for the way that he's speaking, for his communication, and for the style of play that we're trying to play. It's going to be the most modern Italy. We'll see.
For me, I think, I know you mentioned Retegi as a guarantee, but I think that's still a question mark as far as position for us is when we have the opportunities, are we going to score them? Because then that's going to make a big difference. Because I think this Italy team is not the historic Italy team that can secure that 1-0 result.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'll take my
chance. I just think that the style of the game has changed.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to squeak through with this one. It could still happen, but I think we need to be able to be clinical in order for us to.
What is Mancini it that we don't have, Marco, comparing to other teams?
We don't have the world class player.
Quality of players.
You don't. You look at what France has.
Come on.
France
Marco,
has
Marco. We have the best midfield of Europe. We have the best midfield of Europe. Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We don't have the guy that scores. That's my thing.
Jorginho, Barella, Pellegrini is not the best midfield in Europe.
They're very good midfield.
But they're not the best midfield in Europe.
Jorginho is already over the hill, even though he's good for what we got. He's not.
When you just talk about world-class players, guys that can make any 11 in the entire world.
Barella is the only one on this Italy
and
team.
And Chiesa is the game changer. If he plays the way that Chiesa can play, he could play on any team in the world. But he's not always consistent enough, and he's not always there. But he does strike me as somebody, which he did in the Euros. He was on the bench. Remember, Berardi was starting over him, and then Berardi was awful. He got dropped, and Chiesa took his moment in the big games. Yeah. He turned up. He stepped up. That will be the difference for Italy.
I think, to be honest, I think Italy are a better tournament team than we give them out to be for the most part. I think Italy having the group of death, I think it suits them better than having an easier group, because usually when Italy's, they're back against a wall, they usually, for the most part, they perform. And even being the underdogs where a lot of people are counting them now, I think that's another secret thing that they can keep in their back pocket, because they've done this before. They still got a group. Yeah, they're not, they don't have maybe not the favorites of the tournament, but they still have quality amongst all their positions.
You know, what's one other aspect, though, to that point that I have a reservation about? Is the personality of the team, of this group. You know, we used to have an Italy side that even if we weren't the best, we had a strong personality. We had strong characters. I'm not saying we don't have that, but my feeling is that they're not going to be there. I hope to be wrong.
I disagree with you. I hope the reasons why. Mike is right, because Italy needs to be challenged. Italy needed to be trashed before they just really come out of their skin.
We haven't gone to two World Cups. I think we've been trashed enough.
Wait a moment. I said, Italy, if you're not challenging them, it's like you are a Juventus or Milan playing Empoli.
You're right. We struggle against low blocks.
That's what I'm saying. We need to be facing big guns
in order to
step up and come out of our skin and just show what
we don't. We don't have the quality when we play against teams that have low blocks. It is very evident. We don't have those creative world-class players that could dribble a guy and change your match and unlock the entire situation.
And I just want to ask you guys all a question really quick that it just popped up in my head. This Italy squad, just say the lineup that we all put up together, do you think that squad is better than the one that won the Euro?
No.
Overall?
No.
Why not?
Our midfield in the Euros made me so happy. I think that the midfield was of a quality that I haven't seen in a long time. They were the
Verratti
engine.
So you're saying the Verratti that was missing?
But, and the way, like going into it in that moment, when we had that midfield, I was always confident in a game. I said, you know what? The only team that would beat us with the ball was Spain, which is fair. Okay, they're the legends of possession. But when we had that midfield, I was like, oh my God, we're always going to be in a game. Even if we lacked a lot up top, I think our attack has gotten better. But the midfield is still not the same.
Have a defense.
No, with Bonucci and Chiellini at that level that they were playing, the defense was better.
It was better overall?
Yeah, definitely.
But against Inter's Bonucci Champions and Chiellini, final, no. You think still over?
Origin. Hey, I have a quick question for you guys.
Wait, before that, finish it. Do you agree with Marco? Yeah, or
Chiellini.
No. I'm saying overall, which squad was better? The one now or the one with the Euro?
I think the one that we won the Euros.
Euro?
Because you had Jorginho was on a high. Barella is still
Verratti was amazing.
Verratti, as far as hard to take the ball off of.
How about
Insigne? You don't have a player like Insigne on this team. You still have Chiesa.
But Chiesa was in a better form then than he is.
That's true. But it's still a lot of time before.
We just didn't have a striker. Honestly, that team was great. We had no striker. We had an Immobile that was not doing anything. He scored two goals all time.
Ando, how about you?
I would say every time. I mean, there is a place and a time for everything and every national team to just make history for the positive or the negative. Mm. This time, with the player that we have, I think the fact that we partiamo favoriti, we are kind of...
We all agree on that, but answer his questions.
Yeah, they won the favorite last
time either. I like this team.
You think this team's better?
Yeah.
Okay, Mike, what do you say?
I wasn't sure, to be honest, but you brought up the Verratti point. I forgot that midfield was kind of magical. No, but it was, though. You brought up a point that I didn't think about. The Verratti in that midfield made a huge difference.
I hadn't seen a midfield like that in a long time.
And to be honest, they did. That's where Italy won the matches, in that midfield. Before, I would have said maybe this one's better, but you brought up a good point with the... You convinced me with the...
Is Tonali a chance to come back before we start in the tournament? No.
He's going to play some bets on Italy.
when is he coming back, this guy here?
Yo, he's forgotten.
It was an eight-month ban. I think he's coming back like June, July, something like that. He'll be ready for next season. But you're also not going to take a player who hasn't played in the entire season.
Well, listen, Paolo Rossi didn't play...
Also, Tonali doesn't even get into this team in the starting lineup.
That's true.
He doesn't get into this team. He's not better than any of the midfielders we have.
He's right.
Even if he was playing, right?
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I will.
You don't know. Okay, so. I'm telling my opinion. What do you say?
Who
do you start him over him?
I will take definitely Locatelli. I would
say we all agreed. Our midfield, we have Barella and Jorginho as the two guys. Definitely. That's where Tonali would start.
I would say Jorginho home.
Jorginho over Tonali.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's not good. I think he's not the closest.
I would say Jorginho goodbye.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Guys, thank you for watching. Make sure you like, subscribe. We'll talk to you soon. Ciao, ragazzi.
Ciao, guys.